Welcome to Coming Off the Reels. My name is Drew Martin.
And I'm Roy King.
And on tonight's episode, we're going to talk about the Amazon Prime original. I assume, I'm just going to say original. They may have just bought it from someone else, but Amazon Prime original, Jolt, directed by Tanya Wexler, starring Kate Beckinsale, Jay Courtney, Stanley Tucci. Yeah, Jay Courtney. Oh, man.
You love him.
You know a movie's going to be good if he is in your cast.
He won't quit. He just won't stop.
So, Roy, what is Jolt about?
In short, Kate Beckinsale has this condition where she gets agitated really easily, and it makes her want to punch people. And she wears these electric shock vest so she can zap herself out of it whenever she feels the urge to bash someone's face in. And then she meets Jai Courtney, and they hit it off. And then he gets murdered, and then it's her trying to figure out who killed him.
Yeah, yeah. This is, if that sounds pretty basic, this is a short movie, removing credits, 82 minutes.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Roy, what did you think of Jolt?
Oh, man. This one is weird. It is, it's not good, but I had a little bit of fun with it. I didn't have a lot of fun with it. But there were definitely parts where I laughed pretty hard because of how bad it was.
Sure.
So it's like, I think for me, it was fun bad. And I think it does have some really kind of cool moments to it. If it was 5 minutes longer, I probably would have hated it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What did you think?
I feel the same way mostly, except Maybe a little worse. I did not care for this movie. There were a couple of good parts, but I was also just really annoyed by everybody.
Yeah, I can get there.
And like, there are some other good people. Bobby Cannavale's in it, normally great. Laverne Cox is in it, normally great. I did not care for them.
I thought Cannavale was okay. He was kind of bland and generic, but he wasn't like bad.
I thought Laverne Cox was bad in this.
Yeah,
and I think that Bobby Cannavale is normally like so enjoyable and so funny.
Yeah.
And this, it was just so bleh.
Yeah. I don't know if I would blame either one of them because the writing
was not great.
Stanley Tucci is also in this. Also, same kind of thing. Like, normally he's great, but
it felt like everybody shot their scenes like they had 2 days. Like, Stanley Tucci, all your scenes are in this one room. You're in and out in a weekend, and you're done. And that's just kind of how it felt, largely. Yeah. Like, it never felt like a complete film. It just felt
I agree. Would you recommend it before
I would really not
start getting into it?
I would not.
I don't think I would either. I think you could pass this one. Pass it up. Fire something else up instead.
Yeah. Maybe Crank. Crank 2.
Yeah, this definitely tried to be Crank.
And so, okay, now we've told you that we don't recommend it. So it's up. It's on you at this point.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it and you don't want to watch it, you can listen to us talk about it. If you're going to watch it, now's the time to stop. I was so annoyed. If she does this thing where when she is having one of her episodes, she'll imagine what she wishes she were doing to a person. And if you do that once or twice, fine. But in an 82-minute movie, you have this happen 8, 9, 10 times.
It's, yeah. It
just becomes annoying. And it's done in that like that MTV super fast cut style of things, and it was just like I don't care for that. Like, again, do it once and it would be surprising, but because you did it all the time, you could always tell when it was happening, and it was just like, okay, well, let's stop the story so that we can do this.
Yeah, like nothing actually was happening. It was just all her, like, what she wanted to do in the moment. I agree, they did it way too many times. the first couple, I was like, okay, but she actually gonna do these things? Like, yeah, no, she doesn't really.
And I have some questions now. I may have by the end been losing interest, so if I miss something, you can let me know.
I can try.
Well, okay. First of all, let's get into. I'll get it to the end of the movie when we get to the end of the movie. One thing that annoyed me to no end, and I don't know who it was funny for, because it wasn't funny for me, is that at one point, Kate Beckinsale's in the hospital, and Laverne Cox is chasing her down in the hospital.
Yes.
And Kate Beckinsale goes into the room with all the newborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Laverne Cox tries to stop her, and Kate Beckinsale's plan is to throw babies at her.
Yeah, in an effort to elude or evade the police, she's just throwing newborn infants.
Our hero is throwing babies.
Yeah, like she's throwing them knowing that Laverne Cox will catch them.
Sure.
But why? But why is that in this movie?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't find it funny. I was just like, what? What is happening? Like, it was so crazy. So, yeah, I didn't care for that either. But you know what I did love was the hospital chase. Because it was all, like, handheld. It was all right behind her. And she's running all through the hallway. She's in and out of doors. The camera is moving behind her, in front of her. And I thought it was a really well done kind of, like, camera sequence. I thought it was very energetic and very fun. But then it got to the baby tossing, and I was like, wait, what?
And that's the thing, is like there are bright spots in this, but every time you got to something that was kind of good, you immediately got to something that was just like, okay.
Yeah. And
I really enjoyed the setup of this movie, where she is Kate Beckinsale, her character's name is Lindy. She is on a blind date, and Jai Courtney, he is the guy that she is meeting. And she goes in and she's like, I'm sorry. I can't, I thought I could do this, but I didn't want to leave you hanging basically. So I wanted to come in and say, this is off. And then he's like being charming and like asking her, like telling her about bad first dates. And then the waitress comes over and she's like, oh, you'll have to leave if, you know, there's only one of you. So she sits down, and this is when I got annoyed by the movie.
Yeah. Because, like, that server was so, like, over-the-top rude.
Yes.
Like, and, it didn't feel believable.
What she was doing, and, like, she's in the bathroom later, like, ha-ha-ha, what I was doing to this guy. But it was just, like, that kind of stuff where it's, like, I have a peanut allergy. But now, I'm almost curious, like, if he set that up.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
And if he had, then that would almost make it more believable. Because as it stands, he's like, oh, I'll take this seafood. And it's like, oh, it's got nuts on. He's like, I have an allergy. Well, we don't do substitutions. Well, okay, I'll go with this. It has nuts. I'll go with this pasta. It's got a walnut cream sauce. And just, like, being awful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and it goes on for so long that it was just like, ugh, is this the movie?
Yeah. I even past that, like that, I found the server, that whole gag, I didn't believe it because, you know, I was a server, and maybe that's just because of me, but like, I would never have talked to anybody like, oh, you got a nut allergy? Here, let me tell you what you can eat. Like,
yeah.
Especially in a fancy restaurant, like, it just didn't make any kind of sense to me.
Correct.
But they wanted to get, you know, that waitress's, or that server's head busted in, so they just had to tee it up that way, and then she left. And I was just like, okay. And I was pretty on board with everything up until the police got involved. Like, them, like, hooking up, and I found their chemistry was pretty good.
Me too.
And I was like, okay, I want to explore this. I thought I was going to spend more time on their relationship, you know? But he gets killed right away. And then she meets up with these two cops, and they were just terrible.
Yes.
The dialogue was awful. Laverne Cox, who's normally wonderful, just was not very good in this, and I don't know if she didn't agree with what she was saying. Like, I didn't believe anything.
And again, they gave her some of the worst...
Just the worst dialogue.
The worst dialogue.
Ever. Yeah, like, no, who talks that way?
Yeah.
The writing in this whole movie was terrible. All the dialogue was, like, they did three separate fart jokes. Like...
Yeah.
Like, three different times. Like, why?
Right.
Why say that word... outside of like one gag. I'll give you one. I won't laugh at it, but I'll give you one. But three, like when she went to the like Best Buy or whatever and was like, those, oh, don't even get me started on one of my big cinema pet peeves is like the stereotypical nerd that's just like amped up to 11.
Sure.
And like those three guys like, hey, wow, you can't recharge the blah, blah, blah. Like, come on. Like, that's not funny.
Yeah.
And then they go to the hacker. Now, the hacking scene, you know I love a hacking scene.
I know,
and I thought that was pretty good.
Hold on. Let me take a step back, because there was also one of my pet peeves in television and movies, in that we're introduced to these nerds, and we see it from like the point of view of a television, and they're standing there with video game controllers playing something. And then Kate Beckinsale comes up, and then we see the reverse shot, so we see the TVs, and there's no video games on anything. And that's like an annoying thing where it's like the it's second only to whenever you'll see, like, especially if it's like local bad commercials, and it'll be like the kids playing video games and one kid's holding a Nintendo 64 controller and a kid's got a PlayStation controller, and they're all just like what are you doing? Like, come on.
Does that match?
But okay, go to the hacker.
So they get to the hacker, who is like this teenage girl. And she's got this like full setup, and she's just like hacking away in like the warehouse of this electronics store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that setup for one? What's she doing back there?
I thought they were in. I was like, oh, did they cut to her basement? Because she's got like posters on the wall, her music's playing. And it's like, this isn't in the warehouse of this. Like, I know this is a movie, and I feel like we're going to skew dangerously close to the Ryan Sean side of things where we get hung up on it.
Yeah.
But then it got to the hacking, and it was just like, okay, but also like, man, hacking is just a catch-all whenever we need to advance a plot.
Yep. So. I'm in. Like, she had to unlock the phone or whatever. Do you know what scene I liked when she broke into the, it was just like a short scene, but when she broke into the evidence locker, I thought that was pretty cool.
She snatched
an ID and a coat or something and just like worked her way right in. Like, she had training, you know, like she knew what she was doing with like everything, with the fighting, the guns, the bomb. Like, she had all these skills that she was able to put to use. So that like gave, I think, her character a little more depth than I was expecting. So that wasn't terrible. Ultimately, how did you feel about Kate Beckinsale?
I thought she was okay. She was good.
Yeah.
Like, oddly, like, the acting was all really still good. Like, I like her delivering dialogue, and I believe the emotions of her character. I was just so bogged down by how stupid this is.
Yeah.
That it kind of takes away. Like, there is a project that she could land on. Like, if she were in, like, an Atomic Blonde, great.
Yeah.
You know, but it felt like it was trying to do that to a degree, but like less well.
Yeah, I feel like it tried to be a little John Wick in a little Crank.
Yep.
You know, like with the whole crime boss, like his whole building had its own stuff going on. And I feel like that was the kind of a little nod to John Wick, where it had all these kind of underlying rules with the staff and the weird guy, the guy in the plaid suit, who
his name is Delacroix, and loved Delacroix.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic.
Like, we needed so much more of him.
I agree. I thought he was cool and charismatic while also being scary.
Yes.
And I loved the like weird murder room. I thought that was a pretty cool looking.
Yeah,
set
I like
piece.
That. Like, they initially like they catch her, they have her in the thing, there's like a drain in the floor and explaining what that is going to be used for, but then like ultimately just letting her go. And
yeah, right, that was interesting. But yeah, why not?
Yeah. And then circling back to it, I thought was a nice touch. Like,
yeah,
I
agree.
Like that.
You know what I really liked is when she was climbing the building.
And he's like waiting for her.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. Because like Cannavale calls her and it has this, the camera did a lot of like these 360 kind of spins, which I thought were kind of nice. But we see like her talking upside down to Cannavale and it's just like, you don't want to do this, don't do this. And she's like, I'm doing this, and hangs up. And then the camera like corrects itself. So it does this 180 turn. And you find that she's like climbing the side of this building. And she's like in between two pillars, like kick stepping up.
Yeah.
Like her back's up against it, like you would a chimney, I guess. So I thought that was pretty cool. And like the camera pulled way out to see how high she was. And as soon as she got to the top, old Delacroix was just there waiting. Thought it was great.
Yep, me too. And she's like, ah, I was looking for you. Like, all of that stuff, great. Like, yeah. This could have been a better movie. And I didn't hate this movie.
No.
I'm just very indifferent to it.
You know what I did hate was, like, the old guy from Game of Thrones.
Ugh. I thought about
his,
you
like,
when he was
his
eating.
Oh, I was cringing. I was squirming.
It was disgusting.
He is so good at being gross. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
It was David Bradley, who's on Game of Thrones and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I forgot the Harry Potter character. Filch. Yeah. But he's like eating lobster and just like butter and like lobster juice like all over his face. I mean, it's glistening.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
Yeah, it was so gross. And he's talking about how lobsters are basically
cockroaches.
In the same like genome or whatever of cockroaches. It was disgusting.
Ugh. Yes. And I also, we're introduced to his character because there's a shot of a guy hanging in a room. Like, do you remember this?
Yeah, what's he doing? What was he doing up there?
I have no idea. But he's got like hooks or something in his legs, like he's suspended from like meat hook type things.
Yeah.
And they lower him down and then he's just there being disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, are we going to explain what you're doing up on meat hooks in the middle of this big empty room? No.
Nope.
So.
No, that's what I mean about the whole like mystery side that they were attempting.
Yeah.
But that was just gross. Like, he's in his underwear and they lower him and he's just standing there and he's half naked. And then one of his little henchmen puts on a kimono on him or something. And it's just hanging
better.
Free. No, it was so gross. You know what I did like was before we get to like the reveal,
yeah,
like her cutting through all those henchmen, like that fight I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, some of it was good.
You think?
It felt a little John Wick 3 in that maybe the fight was a little bit slowed down.
Yeah. I thought it was
which
pretty good.
Again, that's, you know, it is what it is. It was fine. I'm also, you know, when John Wick came out, that was such a new style, like, mm-hmm. or not new, but we hadn't really like seen it in a while. So it's still refreshing. But now everything since then feels like it's shot that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of like it.
You want to go back to the Bourne shaky cam style?
I don't know.
You're ready for that again?
I don't know what kind of thing I'm looking for. But this like quick style where it's not even like that, there's not a lot of cuts, but like they speed up the film, or you know, it'll like do something, then they'll like speed up the film to get to the next punch. And you know what I'm talking about?
Where yeah, like just, the Kingsman kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's just that's a perfect example of what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. And it now that it's done so much, it doesn't have any effect anymore.
It's lost its guster for you.
Yeah, so someone's going to have to do something clever.
Yeah. I hope someone does.
All right. Let's talk about the reveal.
So she cuts her way up this whole tower. She's fighting off the goon squad left and right. And she gets to the old guy. And she's like, she bursts in. And she's like, are you ready to die, old man? And then you see him, and he's already dead. And then Jai Courtney walks out from around the corner in this, like, I'm a bad guy suit with a gun. And he's like, I couldn't wait. I didn't think you were going to make it, so I just shot him myself. And she's like, what? I thought you were dead. And he's like, nope, I'm the bad guy.
Yep.
Twist.
Was it? Because, look, here's the thing. Whenever she believes that he's dead, when the cops have told her that he's dead, she's like, can I see him? And they're like, no. And that's when you have to go, oh, he's not dead.
Yeah.
And that's like 7 minutes in. You're like, all right, I hope you're not hanging everything on this reveal. But they did. And it's like, if it were so easy for you to kill Filch, his character's name is actually Faisal. If it was so easy for you to kill Faisal, why wasn't that just the plan?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of unclear on what the plan was.
Yeah, like...
He singled her out to, like, trigger her rage so she would go and kill Faisal?
Right, because, you know, they kind of hint, like, oh, Faisal's so powerful, like, the CIA can't even go after him.
Because he was CIA, right?
Eh.
Is that what they are... Is that what they're saying?
I literally have no clue.
Because I think that... Because Susan Sarandon, when she showed up at the end, she mentioned something about how he maybe was affiliated with her. Right?
Also unclear.
Okay.
I don't remember. Right. It could turn out that, yes, he was. But either he was CIA and then he was able to kill her. So what was the point? Or he wasn't CIA. Because they set it up where he says, like, I'm an accountant. And basically, I'm an accountant for this crime syndicate. And then he's like, oh, I wanted to kill this guy because he was about to come off the rails and do way too much evil stuff. And someone had to stop him or something.
Something.
But again, the plan was all. Yes. Possibly there was some connection because this is when it's also revealed that Kate Beckinsale's therapist, played by Stanley Tucci, and also the inventor of her electroshock vest, like, he is the one who gave her name to Jai Courtney, and that's how he knew what to do.
Yeah, right.
But I don't... This really fell apart in the third act.
Yeah, for sure. To quote one Sean McClain, they did not stick the landing.
No. They became too focused in the third act on, we want to set up a franchise here instead of, like, finishing up telling this one story.
Yeah, and that's a greater problem. Like, everything now is just trying to set up a franchise, which is pretty irritating.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, but where did she get the bomb? Did I miss a scene where she got the bomb?
Yeah, because she, like... So Faisal and Delacroix went after her, and she went into her apartment, and she found, like, there was a bomb in her apartment. So she, like, remade it.
Okay.
Like, remember, she walked in and she saw that, like, the six was turned down, and that's how she knew that somebody was in her place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She went through the window, and then she, like, remade the bomb. And then blew him up with it.
Yes, that is definitely where my interest was starting to wane.
It was like a really like anticlimactic sort of ending. You know, yeah. Like the main action sequence was not with Jai Courtney or Jai Courtney. I have no idea how to say his name. But with like that quick little goon squad fight.
Right.
And then she gets up there and then it's like, oh, I thought we were in love or whatever, but you're actually the bad guy and you use me. Yeah, and I'm just going to blow you up.
Like, yeah, and there's nothing. Like, there's zero there. Like, all he does in that last moment is explain that Stanley Tucci, you know, is also in on this and, you know, that he used her the whole time. And then immediately, like, she doesn't even, like, punch him. It's just like, hey, hold this fanny pack with a bomb in it.
Yeah, like, he has the thing where he has the remote for her vest. So he's just, like, zapping her. And she's just like, oh, no, I'm being zapped. This hurts. But then she, like, fights through it and she stands up. And I thought, oh, now she's going to whip his ass.
Right.
While being, like, fully electrocharged or whatever. And then no, that doesn't happen. She just, yeah, she tosses the bag. And then walks away, and then she has her own remote that blows the thing up.
So, yep.
Pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah.
You know, I did really enjoy the scenes with her and Tucci, though.
Like, yes.
Those two were really great together, and they had like a lot of different topics to talk about. Like her, they talked about her rage. They talked about when she was infatuated and she was so happy, and that was like, I thought, all lovely. I thought she played that really well, where she was like all giddy after finally like meeting a guy, and she was so happy that like she turned off her impulse on her own. So she's like, I don't even need this vest anymore. And I was like, oh, and then, you know, the shoe dropped or whatever. But I thought all of those scenes were really good.
Yeah, I agree. But so she goes and confronts Tucci, and again, a lot happens after we kill the main bad guy in this. Because she goes and, like, gets onto Tucci and gets angry and whatever. And then she goes back to her blown-up apartment. And then Susan Sarandon shows up and is basically, I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, and then they show us flashbacks of, like, the opening, like, exposition. And so she's, like, one of the scientists, or she's been a part of Lindy's, like, life as her being this like weapon, and wants to bring her and use her. And she's just like, imagine what you could do when you harness your rage, and imagine what we could do together, blah blah blah. And then like triggers her, and that's how it ends. And it is super weird and out of nowhere and terrible. Like, yeah. I hated the ending.
Yeah,
I really hated it.
There was I thought there might be more because the credits are like 9 minutes long, and there is a little thing in the credits.
Oh, there is?
It's nothing.
Oh, what is it?
It is Hacker Girl walks out to the parking lot, and like, so when Kate Beckinsale goes to the Geek Squad, the Nerd Herd, this is also a part that I was like, this is so dumb, because Kate Beckinsale's like, oh, how much do I owe you? And she's like, the hacker's like, you can't afford me. And I'm like, you work at Best Buy.
Yeah, right.
I'm fairly sure that she could, but she ends up giving him Jay Courtney's car, which is like a spider, something or other.
Oh my God. Car. When she fired that car up, and Laverne Cox is like, I know that sound. That's a Lamborghini Spider GT 805 or whatever. I was like, no, that's stupid.
Why?
That was so tough.
Why?
I don't know.
It would have been stupid in a Fast and Furious movie, and it's stupid in this. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I can just identify this. And it was like, wasn't it like, was it over a radio that she heard?
No, I think they could just hear it in the parking garage or whatever.
So anyway, she gives the car keys to the hacker, and it's the hacker walking out to the parking lot, and it's like, whoa. And that's it. Like, it's 7 seconds. So it's not much.
Oh, that's all it is?
Yeah.
Oh, lame.
It's nothing. So, but also, like, I want to talk about that car chase, because also I didn't really care for that. But at one point, Kate Beckinsale and Bobby Cannavale are playing chicken. And Cannavale is the one who blinks first. And his solution to not hitting Kate Beckinsale is to run full force into the front of a semi, and they're both just, they're fine.
Well, like, he has to be in the hospital.
He's fine. He's like walking around within a day.
Yeah.
Head true. First, in, I mean, full impact into a semi or a garbage truck or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really didn't need like the romantic element of like Cannavale in Beckinsale.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
I didn't need that whatsoever. Like, I liked it more when I thought he was just trying to be like a good guy and saw that she actually needed help and wanted to like do something good.
Right.
But then by the end, he's just like, yeah, maybe we could maybe get some dinner or something. And I was like, I didn't care for that.
Yeah, it really changes. Like, because, you know, at the beginning, he's the one who's very sympathetic to her. And Laverne Cox is like not having any of it. And yeah, you want to believe that maybe he's just actually sympathetic. But he's like, mm-hmm. Nah, I see my way in. What's that? Your boyfriend's dead? Like, no. Ugh.
Ugh. Jeez.
So, I'm thrilled. I was concerned that you were going to be like, I kind of liked it. And I was like,
I really wanted, I tried. I tried to get there. But
I know. Cause
the,
I mean,
parts of it I did.
Yeah.
Parts of it I did really like, but as whole.
There's a little bit of like John Wick. There's a little bit of Guy Ritchie in here.
Yeah.
But not enough of anything to be good.
I think that it still like took itself too seriously.
Yeah.
Like for what this movie is, I feel like they should have leaned into the crazy. Like it was so serious, but then she's tossing babies in the middle of it. Like there was no like cohesive kind of like theme or whatever.
Yeah.
Or tone, I guess is what I'm thinking of. So
yeah,
I do have a little surprise for you since we're like winding down on our talk here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
So I knew how Sean felt about this movie. So earlier tonight, I told him we were recording on it. He sadly could not join us tonight, but I had him send his thoughts. So I'm going to read them to you right now.
Oh, I cannot wait.
It's a list. There's a list of 10. So I'm going to start. Do you want me to start it? I don't think they're in any kind of order.
Okay, just go. Yeah.
I'll just start. Number one. And this is in the voice of Sean McClain. Number one. Are we still trying to make Jai Courtney happen? So be it.
Aww.
Number two. I know. But he's not wrong.
I know. Maybe the Suicide Squad will be his.
Maybe. Because he wasn't bad. Like, he thought Captain Boomerang was one of the higher marks of Suicide Squad movie. So mm-hmm. maybe. But I'm very skeptical.
Absolutely.
Okay, number two. One of the worst car chases ever. Starts on a Hollywood backlot and relies heavily on close-up reaction shots, spliced, classic, with a B-roll of a McLaren test drive.
That must be whatever that is, that car.
Okay. McLaren Spider GT.
Yep.
GTO, whatever. The Hollywood like sets.
Oh,
were
it was awful.
So obvious.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Like I did. I kind of didn't hate it.
But it wasn't the whole time, and it needed to be the whole time or not.
Yes, but it was 100% on a lot.
It was like, you know, the neighborhood in How I Met Your Mother, where it's like, this is a New York City street, but like really tiny still and like charming. And like restaurants have like this weird outdoor seating that you never see in real life. It was all dumb. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, number three. Weird Steadicam escape through the hospital that leads to... And we've already said that Steadicam running. Oh, beautiful. I loved it. Number four, the nursery fight. Why? Correct.
Yes.
So weird. Number five, of all the crime bosses, they picked Filch.
mm-hmm.
Number six, she infiltrates the enemy lair and then they just escort her off the premises.
It was nice.
Sorry, you are not welcome here, miss. Enjoy your evening. number seven, Tooch was not let loose in this one. Needed way more Tucci.
Yep.
Agree. Number eight, Bobby Cannavale and Laverne Cox, worst cops ever.
Also correct.
Yes, very true. Number nine, why didn't she kick JC's ass? Wasn't her whole power that she relentlessly kicks the shit out of people? Instead, she just blows them up. They weren't running long on time. Maybe I don't need that fight, especially if poorly choreographed like the guard fight right before it.
Yes.
Now, I disagree with Mr. McClain on that statement, at least the end of it, because I thought the goon fight was pretty good. Number 10, trying to think of a positive to end on, at least it clocked in at a tight 90.
Yep. Less so. Than with those credits, 82
yeah,
minutes.
Right.
I'm glad that we talked about most of his list.
Yeah. Those were all bright moments.
So
it needed spotlighted.
But all right, well, that's our Jolt show. It is available on Amazon, like I said, so at least you probably don't have to pay much more for it if you want to watch it. But if. I recommend about anything else.
Yeah. You know, I don't think you need this one.
No. Roy, where can they find us?
You can find us on our website, comingoffthereels.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram at comingoffthereels and on Twitter at offthereels. Say hi to us there. Tell us if you watched Jolt and what you thought about it. We want to know. We have a merchandise tab on our website as well, so check that out. Other ways to support us are very, very simple. Just wherever you like to listen, just rate and review us. Hit the subscribe button. Those are the very best ways. We really do appreciate each one that we get. I want to thank Josh Rodenberg for our original theme, and thank you all for listening.
Yeah. Man, this movie. Anyway, until next time, my name is Drew Martin.
And I'm Roy King.
And this has been Coming Off the Reels.